Let's continue with the Gospel of Ruth this morning, and we come to Ruth 2, where boy meets girl. 263, page 263, we'll start back in chapter 1 a little bit, verse 19 there, to be reminded how when Naomi returned to Bethlehem, to Israel, after 10 years wandering in Moab, she comes back bitter. It says, the Lord has dealt bitterly with her. Ruth 1 and verse 19. So the two of them, Naomi and Ruth, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? She said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Bitter, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi, which means pleasant, when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem, the house of bread, at the beginning of barley harvest. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. Remember, Elimelech was Naomi's husband who died in the land of Moab. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, she's the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. Then Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? But Boaz answered her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord. For you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. And when she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. And do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean. And do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah, a half bushel, of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I have worked today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. There ends the reading of God's word. May he bless that to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 68 says, "A father of the fatherless and a defender, a protector of widows is God in his holy habitation." A father of the fatherless and a defender of widows. And that's what we see in Ruth 2. The kindness of God reaching out through a gentleman, a Christian gentleman named Boaz. The kindness of God reaching out into Ruth and Naomi's life. Bitter Naomi, the one who was convinced that God had no goodness for her. She had spent all her capital of God's favor. But as we said last week, the Lord was going to prove her wrong with her theology of God that was out of joint, and he proves her wrong in this chapter. So that by the end of the chapter, verse 20, she says, "Blessed be Boaz by the Lord whose kindness has come upon us." She says, "The Lord is kind." She's proved wrong. Praise the Lord. She's met up with a God of grace and confesses him. Well, in this chapter, God leads Ruth to Boaz. And Boaz later becomes Naomi's redeemer. Boaz is the one who gets her husband's land back and gives Naomi a son so that her family name can continue. And from that son, a great king will come named David. And from that son, King David, a greater king will come, a greater redeemer, a greater father of the fatherless and defender of widows, Jesus Christ. And it all happened by accident or by chance. That's what verse 2 says of Ruth 2. Well, we see that the Lord is the defender of widows. We see Ruth's industry here and Boaz's charity and God's kindness. God gave Israel a beautiful social welfare system that provided food for everyone. It was the gleaning system. At harvest time, the farmers had to leave the corners of the field. They had to leave the grain that was missed. They had to leave the sheaves that were forgotten. They couldn't go back and cover the field a second time. That was to be left for the poor, for the refugee, for the alien, for the orphan, for the widow. That applied not just to barley and wheat. It applied to olive, to grapes. They were to be generous to the poor and needy because they belonged to a generous God who had a heart for the poor and the needy. And that's why he brought them out of Egypt. And that's why he sent Jesus to bring us out of bondage to sin and Satan. He has a heart of compassion and pity and mercy and charity. And he wanted his people to show that heart of God. And we read of that law of the social welfare system in Exodus and Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But at the same time, the poor had to work for their food. The ones who were able had to go out and glean. And they had to gather the harvest that the Lord had provided for them in the fields, in the vineyards of Israel. And so Ruth, she didn't sit around. She had a job. She had to take care of her mother-in-law. And so soon after they arrived in Bethlehem at the time of the barley harvest, verses 2 and 3, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." In other words, let me go out and glean and hopefully one of the farmers will favor me and let me in his field. This was a threatening situation. And Naomi says, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened, verse 3, to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. She saw it as her duty to care for her mother-in-law. And rather than wait passively, sit back and wait for the Lord to throw a loaf of bread on her lap, she was looking for the Lord's provision. So rather than sit back and wait for the Lord to provide, she knew the Lord had provided through gleaning, and she looked for the Lord's provision. Let me go to the field and glean. And that was brave. She was a Gentile, Ruth the Moabite, it says. She's a woman. Thirdly, she's stepping out into the fields in the days when the judges ruled. Later in the chapter, Naomi says, you know, watch out for men who will assault you, attack you. So these are not good days for a woman to be out gleaning. But she stepped out in faith. She had already committed herself to the safekeeping of Almighty God. And she saw this as her calling as a poor woman to go out and glean for herself and her mother-in-law. And in faith, Naomi says, go, my daughter. So she steps out to glean and just happens, it says, just happened to come to a section of field belonging to Boaz. Now, Naomi would have known that Boaz was a relative, but Ruth had no knowledge of it. Verse 1 introduces him to let us know what's coming. Now, Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. But Ruth does not know about him, does not know who he is, where his fields are. She just steps out and happens by, the word happens is literally means by chance or by accident. It looked like it was all coincidence. But as with all coincidences, God is in control of all the accidental and coincidental things that happen to us, isn't he? And he has an amazing plan through coincidences and accidents. Like right here, she happens to meet a godly man named Boaz. And through this godly man named Boaz, the Lord provides food for her, for Naomi. Through this man, Boaz, give away the rest of the story. Naomi receives a son through Ruth, raised up for her husband, so her husband's name continues. Through this accidental meeting, David comes into the world. And through this accidental meeting, later Jesus comes into the world. We're all part of this. It just happened. God is thinking of us too, not just Ruth and Naomi. It's an amazing thing. He has his elect from all nations, and through this chance meeting, he is working out a plan that a baby named Jesus will be born to gather in his people from all nations, including Strathroy and communities in the area. That's how God works. It just happened. Yeah, right. It just happened. From our perspective, yeah, that's the way it works. From God's perspective, there are no accidents, right? But please notice how she received food from God and how she met a man named Boaz, not by sitting at home afraid or in self-pity or waiting for God to do something, but by going out and doing her calling to glean. And that on the road of faith and obedience, the Lord opened doors for her. On the road of faith and obedience, the Lord opened doors for her and surprised them with his goodness. And that's God's lesson for us, congregation. The way you find the gifts and the calling God has for you is not sit at home and wait for a text message from God. I wonder what God wants me to do. The way that you discover God's gifts and calling in your life is go out and serve him and do what he's calling you to do. And along the way, along the road of duty, believing that the Lord will provide for you, taking good risks, not bad ones, you will discover the goodness of God. And when you discover the goodness of God, you realize that it wasn't your risk-taking and your industry, but the kindness of God that rewarded you with gifts. That it's him, not us. The harvest was there because the Lord had visited Israel. Remember that in chapter 1? The Lord had visited his people. That's why the harvest was there. It was his goodness. It was his visitation. And she's a lady who found refuge under the Lord's wings. And knowing God as your strong defender and savior who will never let go of you, but always works for your good. That gives you freedom to go out and glean, to go out and serve and do your duty. You're under a strong defender, people of God. You're under a great redeemer. You're under a wonderful protector, and especially you, like the widows and the orphans in that day who are, you might say, in a disadvantaged position, especially you can go out and be brave and take care of your mother-in-law and serve the Lord and know that your life is safe with Him. And that's why Joseph flourished very much in Potiphar's prison in Egypt, because he knew that there in that terrible spot, he was God's prisoner. So he served his fellow prisoners. And there in the pathway of service, the Lord met him and allowed him to flourish. He was God's prisoner. He could be a witness for Christ there. And there he would discover God's blessing. And so will you. Because when you believe in him, he surrounds you with his favor as with a shield, says the psalmist. You trust in him, he surrounds you with his favor as with a shield. Well, let's see, secondly, Boaz's charity. By accident, humanly speaking, she bumps into a man named Boaz, a relative of her deceased father-in-law Elimelech, though she doesn't know that. Guys, here's a model for us. This is a wonderful man, Boaz. A true Christian gentleman, ahead of his time, a type of Christ. And the Spirit of Jesus lived in him richly. Let me note several things about this man. He's called, verse 1, a worthy man. And that's the same language used for Gideon and Judges. Means a mighty man of valor, strong in the Lord, a man in the Word, a man whose character is shaped by the Lord Jesus Christ. A mighty man of valor, a soldier of the cross, not afraid to stand up for truth and mercy. Secondly, he's a godly man and highly respected. Look at verse 4. He greets his workers with, "The Lord be with you." And they respond, "The Lord bless you." It's a good relationship. He treats his workers well, and they respect him back and honor him. He's a godly man. Thirdly, he's an extremely kind and caring man. He cares deeply about Naomi and Ruth. Number one, there are 6 or 7 reasons for that. Saying he's kind, he's determined that she be protected from the young men. 2, he tells the young men not to bother her. 3, he tells her she should stay with his servant girls. 4, he tells the reapers to leave extra grain behind for her since she's caring for her mother-in-law. 5, he allows her to use their drinking water and drink out of their canteens. 6, he invites her to join them for lunch and gives her enough food that she can take a doggy bag home and give it to her mother-in-law for supper. That's Boaz. Very tender. Calls her my daughter, verse 8. And it would be very easy and normal in that low spiritual climate of the days of Judges to trust, to treat this young female refugee, a Moabite lady, roughly, take advantage of her, abuse her, chase her away, be nasty to her. But Boaz is a true Christian gentleman with a heart for the stranger, for the widow, for the refugee, for the foreigner. And God's providing for them through this worthy man, this mighty man of valor. You'd say, well, where does this faith come from? This gentlemanly character in Boaz. And say, there's a couple of sources we see here in this chapter or in the Bible. One is his faith in God is the root that has changed him and shaped his character. Right? Ruth comes to Boaz, verses 10 through 12, bowing to the ground and said, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner?" And Boaz answered her, here's where his faith shines. "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people you didn't know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge." He's a man of faith, and when you're a believer in the true God, who in his great love sent his son Jesus to save you from your sins, that does something to your mind and heart and your behavior. It grows fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, and it develops you in you the heart of God, a tender-hearted love for the widow and the fatherless and the refugee and the needy and the disadvantaged and the hurting, just like Jesus. So one source is faith, but there's another source that we know from the Bible. Boaz has a unique background. Remember who his mom is? Matthew 1. Who's his mom? Rahab, the ex-prostitute, the Canaanite woman from Jericho, who was converted to Christ, taken in and enfolded into the family of God in Israel. He grew up with that. And maybe with the challenges that his mom faced, and maybe he himself was looked down on and bullied by the other boys in the playground because of his mom's past. We don't know. But in any event, that experience of having a mom named Rahab would play an important role in how Jesus shaped this young man's character into a gentleman who was concerned about a woman named Ruth and her widowed mother-in-law, Naomi. And you can praise God, brothers and sisters, when your background doesn't quite fit the mold of those around you. Because God can use that to develop in you Christian graces, special Christian graces that are important for His kingdom. So don't be ashamed of your background. But pray that God will use it to mold you and to shape you and to a stronger man, a stronger woman of God. You see, this man, Boaz, is not only one of the forefathers of Jesus Christ, many generations later. You see that genealogy in Matthew 1. But a prophecy of Jesus, because much more than Boaz, Jesus is a very safe person to come to, and He will protect you. Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And what He said about Himself was true. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls when you come to Me. And He had a special place in His heart for the outsiders, the prostitutes, the adulterers, the Gentiles, the tax collectors, the thieves, who were looking for peace and rest, who wanted to find refuge in the one true God. He was there. He was there for them. And that's a reminder to us men, first of all, boys, young men, older men. Are you a Boaz or a bully? Are you a safe person to come to? Are you a haven for the needy, the poor, the refugee, the lonely, the widow, the bruised, the battered, who are looking for a safe place to rest their weary lives? Are you a protector or a predator in your relationship with women? Do you have an eye for the hurting so you can give help and hope? That's the true tough guy in the Bible. Sadly, too many men who call themselves Christians are bullies. They yell at their employees. They scream when things don't go their way. They get mad. They beat up on people. They're rude. And I hope, brothers and sisters, that, or brothers, especially now, you're known as a Boaz and not as a bully. And obviously, we have a long ways to go, each one of us. But let me tell you that by looking continually to Jesus, who died on the cross to kill the old self, the bully self, and rose again to raise us up new men in Christ, gentle and lowly in heart, by looking unto Jesus, you will grow in this Boaz-like character of a Christian, tender-hearted gentleman. Pray for this character to dwell in you richly. What a beautiful person is Boaz. Far more beautiful is the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived in Boaz, even though He hadn't come yet, and shaped him, because He was a man of faith. Faith in the Bible means that if you lived in the Old Testament, you were looking for the Christ to come. You already believed in Him, and He lived in you by the Spirit's power. But it's also true for Christian women. Does the spirit of Boaz or the spirit of the bully live in you? We can be nasty. We can be very unsafe. By the grace of God, we can also be a safe haven for needy people to find refuge, peace, and rest. So when they come to us, they don't find prickles, but they find peace. Oh, let us represent Jesus well. That's what this is all about. Again, back to young men. We are under such attack today in our culture to adopt a non-Christian version of the tough guy, where strength is found in money, muscle, jewelry, and not in Christ. And we can be aggressive in business and then passive flakes in Christian character and Christian growth. The culture is at war on Christian men. But Christ overcomes that culture. And let us pray for that growth in our lives as men of God to be true Christian gentlemen. What a beautiful thing. But ultimately we see, thirdly, God's kindness. Now Ruth was thankful for Boaz. Look what she says in verse 13. I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I'm not one of your servants. At the beginning of the day, she would have been uncertain, fearful, wary, anxious. What would she discover? Would she come home alive? These were not assumed. Now she's comforted by this man's kindness to her as a foreigner. And then Boaz responds with more kindness, offering her lunch and leftovers and extra grain to glean, so that she ends up with about a half a bushel of barley that day and an invitation to keep coming back each day till the harvest is over. She'll get a year's supply of food for herself and her mother-in-law this way. But what I love especially is Naomi's response. She's flabbergasted at the amount of grain Ruth brought home. She would be expecting nothing at all. The Lord's against me. Ruth is a Gentile. What's the likelihood of any farmer letting her glean? What's the chance of her even making it home alive? Maybe she was quietly preparing for a funeral that day. Harvest crews were rough at that time. But when she comes home, and she's been so blessed, she asks, who is it? It's Boaz. And then verse 20, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living and the dead. This is the Lord's kindness. This is the Lord's kindness. It's not Boaz, really. It's the Lord. The Lord has not forsaken the living, you and me, Ruth, or the dead, my sons, my husband. He still loves us. The Lord still loves us. She's got it right. It's not Boaz, finally, who's being good to us today, Ruth. It's God who has sent Boaz to us. He's giving us kindness through this man. And the Lord is graciously proving Naomi wrong. There's more than bitterness left for her. When you turn to the Lord, no matter how far you've gone astray from Him, the Lord has a full load of kindness for you. He's proving her wrong. And now she's seeing and testifying to the Lord's goodness in her life, for his last chapter she couldn't see it. And he's filling her empty life now with food, but more. Look what she says there at the end of verse 20. The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. That's the main point of the book of Ruth. God's giving them food, but he's giving them a redeemer. In the Old Testament law, if you had lost your property and become a slave, if you had lost your husband and had no sons to carry on your name, then you lost your status in Israel. You were truly empty. You lost your place in society. You had nothing. But a relative could come and redeem you. That is, with his money, he could buy back your land. So you have your land again. And through marriage, he could bury you a son and restore your name again. So he could put your life back on the map and give you a standing again and give you hope and a future and a place in Israel. That was in a day when your life was tied to the land of Israel, right? And that's who this man is. The man whose field Ruth was gleaning in by accident. The Lord's bringing everything together for Ruth and Naomi. He's lifting Naomi's life from the pit of bitterness to a place of happiness, from emptiness to fullness. That's the Lord's doing. That's his kindness. It's his kindness. The word is chesed, loving kindness, his covenant love and loyalty, where he doesn't forsake his own, never turns away those who cash in on his promises, who come to him. He's faithful to the end. He brought Boaz into their life, and through this wonderful, worthy man of God, he's going to show his, God's love to them. He's going to fill them with his love. He's going to restore them. And of course, Boaz is a foretaste and foreshadowing of the great Redeemer, Jesus Christ. As God sent a man in your life too, brothers and sisters. It's not Boaz, it's the greater than Boaz. A mighty man of valor, Jesus Christ. a gracious man, a generous man, a loving man, a true Christian gentleman who's gentle and lowly in heart, to purchase your freedom with his death on the cross, to marry you and restore your fortunes and bring you back to God and his eternal kingdom. And I can't help but think again of Jesus at the well, the husband meeting, the bridegroom meeting the bride, the Samaritan woman whose life is a train wreck, right? And he gives her living water. Come meet the man who told me all I ever did. Come meet the man of your dreams. The Lord is the defender of widows. The Lord is the Savior and Redeemer of every needy, sin-stained, sin-shamed, hurting, troubled person who comes to him. His gentleness, says David in Psalm 18, his gentleness will make you great, great, great in charity, great in gentle character, great in love and kindness, great in truth, great in self-control, great in faith, great in the fear of God. His gentleness will make you great. Come to him. Take refuge under the wings of Almighty God, who sent a man, who sent a man to redeem you, Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for this man, Boaz, a mighty man of valor, a true Christian gentleman. Thank you for the gentleman who made Boaz great, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And we pray, Lord, that you will visit us with this Redeemer too and make us great in the way of God. Father, we pray that you will continue to build us up in our most holy faith. Build us up in Christian character and all the fruit of the Spirit, that we too might open our lives and arms and be a helper to many. In Jesus we pray. Amen.